I was out surfing. The next time I went out, the conditions were way different. It was really foggy, and I just got beat with the ugly stick the whole time I was in the water. That day I was the servant. That's what brought this word about.
Okay.
Thank you. So, good morning. I want to speak about the servant's heart this morning. And it hit me in the worship. The best place to start with that is in John 13. And we're going to just pick it up in the middle of verse 3. John 13, verse 3. I'm reading out of the New American Standard. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come forth from God and was going back to God, got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. You know, this is so beautiful. I think this is the greatest example of being a servant. You know, to the disciples, Jesus was the master. But in Jesus' mind, he was the servant. And that's so beautiful. There cannot be a master without a servant's heart. And, you know, in some situations in life, we're in authority or something like that, and we maybe feel like we're the master, but it's absolutely necessary that we have the servant's heart. Because, you know, Father is in charge of everything. There's no mastery of that. You know, some groups in the church suggest that the church is an army. You know, we have the Salvation Army, and some of us were part of a group years ago that was kind of militaristic and talked about, you know, destroying evil on the earth and all this stuff. But, you know, if you really look at Jesus' life, he didn't produce an army. He only produced 11 servants. And look what it's done. Look how that has just gone all over the universe. He doesn't need a huge amount of people. Doesn't need an army, doesn't need people to destroy evil. You know, if you want to get rid of darkness in a room, just turn on the light. You can shovel, you can take boxes and try and get the darkness out of the room. It doesn't work. So Jesus didn't produce an army. He didn't change Israel's political situation. He didn't change the quality of life in Israel. He didn't feed the poor with a giant organization. He didn't solicit money for programs. He was a servant. That's all it took. Remember what he said? He said, "I only do what I see the Father doing." That's all he asks of us. But being a servant requires authority and revelation. Did you know that? I'll tell you why. You need authority because you need to have the tools to do what's needed. And we all have gifts, and those gifts are in kind of a raw form when we receive them. They need to be shaped and polished. Sounds like a goldsmith or something. And we also need revelation. We must know what's needed. We're not to do just busy work. That's not being a servant. Have you ever had somebody come into your home and clean, and they're just cleaning the same thing all the time? You know, going around with a feather duster or something and not really getting down to the deep dirt. So a lot of people in the church are just looking for to help some need that they see. Well, you know, that could be codependent. It could be looking for a reward. And I don't think that's necessary. You know, there's a lot of times when people go through something and it's God all over them. And it looks like they're going through a tragedy and they need help and all this stuff. And that's why the authority and the revelation are necessary. Sometimes you just want to stand back from those people because you don't want to get in the way of God. So if we know what God's doing in that life, then and we're hearing from him, we will know if we are to help or if we're just to stand back and pray for him. It's super important, because if we get involved, it's like in the Old Testament when they're hauling the ark and the oxen stumbled and it started to fall and the guy grabbed it. God didn't appreciate that. You know? We don't want to be the one grabbing what God's doing and trying to stop it from happening. It's not pretty when God deals with us sometimes. So don't be too quick. You got to stand back and listen. Another wonderful thing that happened was let's turn to Matthew 25. You know, when Jesus talked about the talents. And that starts in verse 14. For it's just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. So you all know what happened, right? Probably read this. You know, 2 of them increased what the master had given them, and 1 was worried about it. And, you know, he didn't want to make a mistake, so he buried it. Didn't think of, you know, putting in the bank and getting 0.5% interest or whatever they give. I think you're going to get more interest burying in a coffee can in the backyard. So anyhow, it says, verse 19, now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more. So what did he say to him? Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. So right then, that servant had an equality with the master. He said, enter into the joy of your master. Another wonderful situation is in Luke 15. Can we go over to there? I like this too. And that starts at verse 11. A man had 2 sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country where he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, A severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out. Okay, there's, you know all this. But when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men.'" So he went back to his dad and told him that very thing. And what did his dad do? Put a robe on him, put a ring on his finger. Okay, let's look at that. The robe, what is that? It's a covering. And what's that ring? Authority. He had the authority of the Father. He said, "I'm not worthy." It has nothing to do with our behavior. We weren't consulted about sonship. Even in the natural, we weren't. This is something he did, and it's with DNA. It has nothing to do with behavior. Our sonship is unquestionable. We are one with him because of what Christ did. I don't care how much you flip-flop in your life. Irrelevant. Someone did a work that superseded anything and everything you can ever do. You can't nullify it. It's too big. So, this young man wanted to be just a servant. Dad said, "No, you're my son." It's just beautiful. Jesus said the greatest person around will be the servant. So don't strive to be great. It doesn't matter. If you know who you are, you're happy to be a servant. Just enter into that joy. Thank you. Bless you. You're dismissed.